Help us now as we study together, as we learn together. Lord, help us to understand the power present and how you can work this in our lives, and help us then to apply it into our lives as we leave this place. We thank you for your Holy Spirit here to guide us, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit's presence to enliven and empower us as we study and learn. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as I mentioned to the children, I've been working with Lansing as my guide dog now for 6.5 years. Some of you can remember when I first got him and first made my trip to Escalon here. But for 6.5 years, we've walked routes around Modesto. And the way I do that is I kind of learn neighborhoods based on some help from Google Maps and from my lovely wife, who drives me around explaining how different streets are connected. And then I remember. And when Lansing and I are out, we do various routes of 3, 4, 5 miles for exercise, for fun, for prayer time, but also to take him to some parks where he gets to be a real dog and play and have some fun. But one of these routes, in 2011, I was walking a neighborhood with a lovely street called Tiffany Lane. Doesn't that just sound nice? That could be a person, that could be some sort of a fancy movie, but it's Tiffany Lane. It's a nice little one-block street near Coffee and Sylvan in Modesto. And I walked north on this street to connect to two other streets. It connected two streets. And I just remember, I'd probably walked it 25 or 30 times when this incident happened. And every time we walked that route, Lansing would kind of move me to the right at one point. And, you know, I just went with that. He does that all the time. That's the way we work. If you've ever seen us, we walk rather quickly at a good rate. And he's constantly moving me a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, to be out of the way of upheaval on the sidewalk or a trash can or a pole, or sometimes there's a car that's parked out or a person, you know, and he's navigating me around all those different objects. So it's this constant him moving me left or right or straight ahead or faster or slower. And we've worked together for so long that it just becomes, you know, very easy for both of us. It's easy to follow him, except for when I don't. And that day, he had moved me to the right 25 to 30 times probably for over the course of weeks. I knew that he was going to do that, but still, I somehow lost my balance as he moved to the right, and I took a big step to my left, right? I found out why he was moving me to my right. I lined myself up perfectly to crack my head into a tree branch. Tree branch went across the sidewalk at kind of an angle, and he was moving me to the right. I didn't even know, but for those 25 or 30 times, I was passing an inch or two right below that tree branch. Never knew it was there until I moved myself to the left, cracked my head, nice good knot on my forehead. It hurt a lot, and I learned from that experience, trust your guide. He knows what he's doing. Trust your guide. I'd only been working with him for a year by that point, year and a half maybe, and I learned to trust my guide. He knew what he was doing. But I also learned how many hundreds of things had he protected me from throughout my days in Modesto that I wasn't even aware of. Other tree branches I walked beneath, or who knows what obstacles he took me around. And I just became even more amazed that he was trustworthy. I could trust my guide. And because I happened to be studying Galatians 5 at that point, I remember connecting this passage with that experience, thinking to myself, there's a lot of similarities here, there's a lot of parallels. And while I understand that Lansing is a very limited guide, though he is amazing and astounding in so many ways, the Holy Spirit is like scabillions of times better as our guide. But there's some principles that I think are helpful here. The first thing we got to understand as a foundation is what it means to have a guide. There's a few things we got to get established as a foundation. You need to admit you need a guide. That's a big first step. For me, getting a guide dog, that was a huge process. It took me a while to admit that I needed a guide. I've lost my eyesight and a number of years have gone by, but I was still stubbornly trying to figure it out for myself, trying to figure it out how to get my life back, how to get some independence. And it wasn't working very well. I had to admit that I needed a guide. Spiritually, I think that's where a lot of us find ourselves. We're American Christians, and somehow we've gotten in our head, okay, God takes care of salvation. Thank you very much. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And we forget. We forget that God needs to be a part of our daily lives. We can't just take it from there. You know, thanks God for saving me. I'll take the wheel now. No, you got to let the Holy Spirit be your guide every step of the way. We need a guide. We're not independent. We're not on our own. We need to be relying on God daily, hourly, minute by minute. So we need to admit we need a guide. Second, you need to choose the right guide. Once you admit you need a guide, there's a lot of options out there. A lot of them are not very good. You can allow the world to guide you and set your opinions. You can allow the media. You can allow your sin nature. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes, to be your guide. There's a lot of guides out there. There's also some good guides, things we can follow, some morality, some good things. but we're missing out on the best guide. You need to make sure you're choosing the right guide, the best guide. That's the Holy Spirit. And finally, you need to trust your guide. As I learned very painfully that day on Tiffany Lane, you need to trust your guide. When the Holy Spirit is nudging you, prompting you, calling you, even if you don't understand it or don't like it, you need to trust your guide. Once you've admitted you need a guide and chosen the right guide, then you got to follow through and trust your guide. That's what our passage is all about today, how to trust the Holy Spirit as your guide. Paul says it right there in the first verse. He says, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. And then he goes on to tell you how to go about that and why that's so difficult sometimes. So if you look with me at this great passage, verses 16 through 18 talks about the struggle, why this is so difficult, because there's a constant struggle going on. See, each of us has the Holy Spirit. If you're in Christ today, you have the Holy Spirit. That's what Pentecost is all about. The Holy Spirit was given as a gift to the church, and every single believer from that point on is given the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about it much, but that's a gift. That's what the Bible says. It's given to each and every believer as a seal so that God gives you the Holy Spirit so you know you belong to Him and He'll never leave you or forsake you. The Holy Spirit is given to each and every believer. But at the same time, there's something else that we still possess, even after salvation. We still have our sin nature, our sin nature. Now that's the reality, the Bible calls it the flesh or the self. That's the part of us that's there that just knows how to be bad, right? It's there from the very beginning. We inherit this from our humanity. Adam and Eve on down, everybody as a result of the fall inherits the sin nature. We're born into that. That's just there for us. That's what the Bible says. Now, the world and different schools of thought says, no, we're born good, and then we become bad based on the influences around us or the people that influence. And the reality is, that's not what the Bible teaches, and I think you can trust the Bible and also just hang out with a two-year-old sometimes. No one has taught them to be bad. Babies, toddlers, they just know. They know that mine is better than yours, and I'm going to hit my brother if they take something from me. No one teaches them that. We just know how to be bad. That's our sin nature. It shows up early, and it stays with us. Now, when you become a Christian, the power of your sin nature is taken away. The penalty for your sin is forever paid. The power of your sin is broken, but the presence of your sin nature, it still stays there. Your sin nature becomes like this rechargeable battery. I stole this from an old laptop that I have sitting around because I can't ever throw away anything, so I have laptops from, the 1990s still around. But this rechargeable battery has been in a dead laptop for years. It's dead. It has no power right now. There is no juice left whatsoever in this rechargeable battery. It's dead. This is our sin nature. Verse 24 of this passage says that exact thing. It's been crucified with Christ. It has no power anymore unless you give it power. If I were to plug this in, put it in the laptop and plug it in, it would have power. That's what happens with our sin nature. When we choose to sin, we give it power. When we choose little simple choices, little tiny choices every day, begins to charge up the rechargeable battery, and all of a sudden your sin nature has a pull on you. That's what we do. That's what we do. And Paul says that's what leads to this big struggle where the Holy Spirit's trying to get you to one thing, the sin nature is doing the exact opposite. Trying to pull you the exact opposite. And because we've chosen to sin, we've given that rechargeable power, we think it has a lot of power. The reality is, it has whatever power we give it. This rechargeable battery compared to the sun, that's your sin nature compared to the Holy Spirit. The sun is an incredible, powerful source of energy. Regardless of whether you can see it or not, it is there. And this rechargeable battery only has power if I give it power. That's the reality of what Scripture teaches. Now, Paul says these two forces are opposite. They're pulling you in two different directions. That is very true. It's a constant struggle. The sin nature wants you to do bad. The Holy Spirit wants you to make the right choices. But notice it's not a struggle of equals. Yeah, opposites, definitely, but not equal. They're not equal in force. See, we've somehow gotten this in our head thanks to Star Wars and things like that, where there's the force, and that's good. That's pulling us in a good direction. And then there's the dark side. And that's pulling us in a bad direction. And we think they're equal forces. That's not Christianity. That's the teachings of Buddhism. The Bible tells us, yes, they're opposite forces pulling you in opposite directions, but one is way more powerful than the other. And the sin nature only has power if you give it power. The Holy Spirit power is infinite. It will always be there. God will always be able to help you and give you everything you need to overcome your sin. So Paul says, this is why you can't carry out those good intentions. We all have those good intentions, right? I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to get up early and study my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to help. But if we're doing those our own strength, we're just doing that try harder mentality, grit your teeth and try to do it in your own strength, and before long, your sin nature is pulling you in a different direction. That's why we can't carry out those good intentions, because we're unaware that we need to tap into that Holy Spirit and that power that's available to us. We're trying to do it in our own strength. When you say, I'm going to do this, that's inherently what you're doing. Is you're saying, I'm going to willpower myself into doing this. And you can carry that out for a time. Some of you more than others, but you know, we can get away with that for a time. But the reality is, that's why we can't get our good intentions accomplished. Real life change doesn't happen if we don't let the Holy Spirit be our guide. Paul says, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. When you do that, you're not under the law of Moses. It's not about those little infinitesimal, you know, little tiny laws you got to keep. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. And as the Holy Spirit nudges you one way, you'll go that way. As the Holy Spirit guides you another way, you'll go that way. And all of a sudden, yes, of course, you're keeping the heart and the laws of God, because that's the reality. It's a relationship with God. You know how it's going to work. But you have to choose that every single day. And Paul says, let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Don't choose the sin nature, because you know where that's going to lead you, right? Verses 19 through 21 shows you the results of following the sin nature. Now, when you look at that list, that's a pretty grim list. That's a pretty dark, dark list. Those are the depths of sin that can happen. Now, some of you are thinking, well, that's not me. My sins aren't listed there. Wow, those are really the bad ones. But those people out there, they sure have... No, this is what all of us could become if we're not listening to God and letting the Holy Spirit be our guide. See, each and every one of us who chooses the sin, it may seem like a little safe sin, and just a little sin, it's not that big of a deal, but sin is always a slippery slope that will lead you down to these depths, these dark depths that are listed for you. These will happen. They're results. The word result is very important. 1 + 1, the result is going to be 2. When you jump off a building, the result is gravity is going to work and you're going to hit the ground, whether you like it or not. That's a result. That's going to happen. So yes, we think of it as a nice little safe sin, no big deal, but it will draw you down and pull you down into these depths that are listed here for you. It's like this morning, before the service, I got each and every one of you to eat a donut. Kathy and I brought donuts from Mr. T's in Modesto, and I got each and every one of you to eat at least one donut. Some of you ate 2 or 3, not going to tell you who that is. But each and every one of you ate a donut. And then I tell you during the sermon, yeah, there was a little bit of rat poison in those donuts. Don't worry, just a little bit of rat poison. How many of you would be comfortable right now? You'd be thinking to yourselves, what's a little bit mean? And any rat poison is not a good idea, even a small amount. So you don't want that. No such thing as a safe sin. They're going to lead you down into these depths. And if you look at that list, yeah, that's a pretty nasty, nasty list. It's 4 categories of sin. We have sexual sin represented. That's any type of sexual contact outside of God's boundaries, which is within marriage, husband and wife. And sin has this way of corrupting sexuality, even in the church, where pornography is prevalent and perversions and sexting and all sorts of things that we get ourselves into with a little bit of safe thinking it's safety, but it's really not. It's going to draw you down into sexual sin. He lists several forms of that, lustful pleasures and impurity and sexual immorality. He also lists sins of idolatry. That's any time you put something in God's place. Anytime you do that. Sorcery is mentioned there, idolatry, different types of, that's never a good idea, never a safe area. He lists sins of strife. That's factions and divisions, and where we intentionally, and this is present in the church too, we intentionally divide each other. We're trying to pull people away from each other. We're trying to show that the leaders of the church maybe can't be trusted or that they're not getting things done, and we intentionally set up these sins of strife. Not a good idea. When we're led by the sin nature, that's what's going to happen. And finally, the sins of excess, where something that's maybe it's just neutral, has no value, we corrupt it by having too much of it. The drunkenness, the wild parties, the excess that can happen. The reality is, these are what happens when we follow the sin nature. These are the results of following the sin nature. Now, any good pastor at this point would give you a personal illustration, because that's what we're supposed to do, right? But if I started listing all of my sin struggles for you, yeah, it would be Wednesday before we're all done. So I'll just list for you one incident that also happened on Tiffany Lane, where I was following my sin nature for several weeks. I was in a bad place. This happened 18 months after that first incident I told you about. A year and a half had gone by, and I was still doing my daily routes with Lansing around Modesto, but I was in a different place spiritually. I was struggling. I was kind of mad at God. I'm sure none of you have ever been there, but you're kind of irritated with God, and you're kind of going to punish him by not spending time in your Bible and not praying, and yeah, that's a real good idea. And I was just in a bad place. I was struggling with a lot of things, and I was grumbling, and I was grumpy, and I went out with Lansing one day, and I just was whining and complaining and just a mess, spiritually just a mess. And I remember walking along and thinking, you know, what the heck's going on with me? Why am I irritated with God? And I was just trying to figure it out and puzzled out, and we ended up doing a familiar route, ended up on Tiffany Lane, heading north, same direction. I passed a nice man working in his yard. He said hello to me, and I said hello, and I pretended that I was doing okay. I kind of put on that face that we do, the nice, polite, happy face, and he said, "What a beautiful dog," and I said, "Yes, thank you very much," and it was a very nice interaction. So I kept walking and, you know, got to that place where Lansing moves me to the right. Bet you can't guess what happened. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't doing well. I was trying to figure out what the heck's going on with me spiritually. So when Lansing moves me to the right, I lose my balance a little bit. I take a step to my left to correct that. Yeah, can you see what's going to happen? Yeah, most of you are going, no. Sure enough, set myself up perfectly, walked at a good rate of speed into that tree limb one more time. Cracked my head hard. But this time, I didn't react like I did before. I got mad. I got really angry. See, I had, with a good friend, I had gone to that owner of that home when the first time that happened, and I told him about this, and I asked him to prune the tree. He chose not to do that. I was mad at the owner of that house. I was mad at God for letting that tree grow across that sidewalk. I was mad at God for letting me crack myself into that. I was mad at myself for not trusting Lansing and doing this exact same thing again. But most of all, I was mad at the tree. Yeah, how dare that tree get in my way? And I was angry at this tree, so I reacted. You know that's always a bad idea, right? When you just react, you don't take time to think, you just react. And I just, with great anger, with rage even, I jumped up and I hung my full weight on that branch. Now, I'm not the 160-pound guy I used to be, and I wasn't aware of how big the branch was and how small the tree was. So when I hung my full body weight on that limb, guess what happened? Yeah, giant crack, and the whole limb comes down on top of me at this point. Now, at this point, I'm thinking to myself, what have I done? Well, the nice gentleman working in his yard, all he heard was the giant crack. He looks over and sees this poor blind gentleman with the nice dog being attacked by a tree. And he rushes over to help, and he's so helpful. And he's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened. That person should have trimmed this tree. I can't believe this. Are you okay? And as he helps me pull the tree limb off myself, he's like, oh my gosh, your head. You cracked your head. There's a really big bruise on your head. He goes, let me take you to the hospital, and I'll make sure this owner pays your medical expenses. And I'll even be a witness for you if you want to sue him. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, if you only knew the real story at this point. So I very quickly apologized for, you know, that I didn't need his help. I apologized for distracting him. I thanked him for helping me. I said, no, it's okay. And I very quickly got myself out of there and made sure I never walked down that street for about another year. I didn't want to be arrested for tree abuse or something. I had an outburst of anger. I had a fit of rage at that moment. My sin nature led me right into a bad place. And I didn't react the way I should have. I reacted with an outburst of anger that was not appropriate. And as a result, I did myself the damage and I damaged a tree. Now, I only share that story because that's what happens when we follow the sin nature. It leads us into bad places. It's going to happen. The result is going to be you end up at a bad spot you don't want to be. Now, from that experience, I thankfully was humble enough to repent and turn back to God and go, what the heck am I doing? And so God and I had a talk, and I got myself back on the right track. Paul's aware that when we follow the sin nature, it leads us into bad places. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. That's why he lists for you the fruit of the Spirit, which is so familiar, verses 22 and 23. When you follow the Spirit, look what happens, the fruit of the Spirit. And notice that's singular. There's not multiple fruits. This is one fruit. Different traits, sure, different characteristics, but it's all one source, the Holy Spirit. And it's going to show up in your life regardless of your choice. It's going to just happen. As you connect with God, as you spend time in the Word, as you pray, as you hang out with other Christians and worship, and this fruit will begin to appear in your life. And look at that list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Sure could have used some self-control that day. The reality is this is what starts to show up in your life, the fruit of the Spirit. And before long, you're living like Jesus. If you notice, these are the traits of Jesus. These and many more are the traits that Jesus expressed to us here when he walked among us. The reality is this is a much better path. Think about love. Love for others, love for God, joy. Joy that goes beyond measure. Your peace, that absence of conflict, sure, but the presence of trust. Even when God is putting you through some rough stuff, you're at peace. You have kindness, you have goodness. Those are amazing qualities. And you don't have to try to have these appear in your life. They're just going to happen. Fruit happens. That's just the reality of it. Fruit happens. When you submit yourself and let the Holy Spirit be your guide, this is what begins to occur in your life. Just like a tree doesn't choose when it's going to bear fruit. It just bears fruit. And sometimes what I love is you get a lot of fruit, and other seasons you get a little bit of fruit. Different times of year are not the right time for fruit, so it's not going to be any at all. But it's going to happen in God's timing, and we can trust that. We can trust that. The reality is this is the path that Paul wants us on. So the reality that the path God wants us on. To understand that fruit will come when we let the Holy Spirit be our guide. But it's our choice. Verses 24 through 26 makes that very clear. We have chosen to crucify that sin nature with Jesus. When you trusted in Christ, you took away the power of the sin nature. You can choose to give it power again, or you can let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Paul says, make the right choice. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust God to guide you. And look what it's going to lead to. A much better life. And as that starts to happen, verse 26 warns you, don't become conceited. Don't think this is you who's making this change. It's God working in you. So don't get distracted and prideful and allow dissension to come back in, and don't get jealous of each other and all of that. Make sure you understand that God gets all the glory. God gets all the credit. Because when you trust your guide will lead you into good places. Your guide will lead you to the place that is where you want to be for significance, for finding what we all want, eternal value in each and every day. Regardless of what you're doing, regardless of where you're at, practice the presence of God. Understand that God will guide you through his Spirit each and every moment of each and every day. It comes down to simple choices, those little simple choices every day. Will you listen to the Spirit's voice nudging you to do this good thing, or will you let your sin nature control and give your sin nature power? Simple choices every day are what leads you to those big moments when you have those big choices to make. We so focus on the big choices, but the reality is it's about the simple choices every day to obey, to follow, to yield, to let the Spirit be your guide. So today, that's my challenge. Where do you find yourself? If you look at those application notes, where do you find yourself today? Are you aware of how the Spirit guides you and are you willing to trust that? Are you making the simple choices every day to follow the Spirit's leading in your life, or are you still stuck giving the sin nature more power? Wherever you find yourself today, I ask that you would just trust God enough to take one simple step closer to him, to let the Spirit be your guide. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the reality that each and every one of us in Christ is given the Spirit. We can trust you, we can follow you, we can be led by you. If we're only willing to yield ourselves, to yield our pride, to humble ourselves, and Lord, each and every day I ask you to make that leading clear to us. Lord, in the simple things, each and every day, the simple choices we have, how to spend our time, our energies, our efforts, our relational skills, Lord, how to invest those. I pray that you would give us an awareness and help us to follow the Spirit's guide. That, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit would be evident in us as we grow closer to you and closer to each other. In your name we pray. Amen.